Association with others. While at school, students should not allow their minds to become confused by thoughts of courtship. They are there to gain a fitness to work for God, and this thought is ever to be uppermost. Let all students take as broad a view as possible of their obligations to God. Let them study earnestly how they can do practical work for the Master during their student life. Let them refuse to burden the souls of their teachers by showing a spirit of levity and a careless disregard of rules. Students can do much to make the school a success by working with their teachers to help other students, and by zealously endeavoring to lift themselves above cheap, low standards. Those who cooperate with Christ will become refined in speech and in temper. They will not be unruly and self-caring, studying their own selfish pleasure and gratification. They will bend all their efforts to work with Christ as messengers of His mercy and love. They are one with Him in spirit and in action. They seek to store the mind with the precious treasures of God's Word, that each may do his appointed work. In all our dealings with students, age and character must be taken into account. We cannot treat the young and the old just alike. There are circumstances under which men and women of sound experience and good standing may be granted some privileges not given to the younger students. The age, the conditions, and the turn of mind must be taken into consideration. We must be wisely considerate in all our work. But we must not lessen our firmness and vigilance in dealing with students of all ages, nor our strictness in forbidding the unprofitable and unwise association of young and immature students. In our schools in Battle Creek, Healdsburg, and Currambong, I have borne a straight testimony concerning these matters. There were those who thought the restraint too severe, but we told them plainly what could be and what could not be, showing them that our schools are established at great expense for a definite purpose, and that all which would hinder the accomplishment of this purpose must be put away. Again and again I stood before the students in the Avondale School with messages from the Lord regarding the deleterious influence of free and easy association between young men and young women. I told them that if they did not keep themselves to themselves, and endeavor to make the most of their time, the school would not benefit them, and those who were paying their expenses would be disappointed. I told them that if they were determined to have their own will and their own way, it would be better for them to return to their homes and to the guardianship of their parents. This they could do at any time if they decided not to stand under the yoke of obedience, for we did not design to have a few leading spirits in wrongdoing demoralizing the other students. I told the principal and teachers that God had laid upon them the responsibility of watching for souls as they that must give account. I showed them that the wrong course pursued by some of the students would mislead other students, if it were continued, and for this God would hold the teachers responsible. Some students would attend school who had not been disciplined at home, and whose ideas of proper education and its value were perverted. If these were allowed to carry things in their way, the object for which the school was established would be defeated, and the sin would be charged against the guardians of the schools, as if they had committed it themselves. God holds everyone responsible for the influence that surrounds his soul, on his own account and on the account of others. He calls upon young men and women to be strictly temperate and conscientious in the use of their faculties of mind and body. Their capabilities can be properly developed only by the most diligent use of their opportunities and the wise appropriation of their powers to the glory of God and the benefit of their fellow men. To know what constitutes purity of mind, soul, and body is an important part of education. Paul summed up the attainments possible for Timothy by saying, "Keep thyself pure." Impurity of thought, word, or action will not be indulged by the child of God. Every encouragement and the richest blessings are held up before the overcomers of evil practices, but the most fearful penalties are laid upon those who profane the body and defile the soul. Teachers, blessed are the pure in heart, now, not, blessed will be the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes, as did Moses, they shall endure the seeing of Him who is invisible. They have the assurance of the richest blessings, both in this life and in the life that is to come. Students, if you will watch and pray, and make earnest efforts in the right direction, you will be thoroughly imbued with the Spirit of Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Be determined that you will make the school a success. If you will heed the instruction given in the Word of God, you may go forth with a development of intellectual and moral power that will cause even angels to rejoice, and God will joy over you with singing. Under such discipline you will secure the fullest development of your faculties. Let not the buoyancy and the lust of youth through manifold temptations make your day of opportunity and privilege a failure. Day by day put on Christ, and in the brief season of your test and trial here below maintain your dignity in the strength of God, as co-workers with the highest agencies of heaven. It is the privilege of the faithful teacher to reap day by day the visible results of his patient, persevering labor of love. It is his to watch the growth of the tender plants as they bud, and blossom, and bear the fruit of order, punctuality, faithfulness, thoroughness, and true nobility of character. It is his to see a love for truth and right growing and strengthening in these children and youth for whom he is held responsible. What can give him greater returns than to see his pupils developing characters that will make them noble and useful men and women, fitted to occupy positions of responsibility and trust, men and women who in the future will wield the power to hold in check evil influences and help in dispelling the moral darkness of the world. As the teacher awakens in the minds of his pupils a realization of the possibilities before them, as he causes them to grasp the truth that they may become useful, noble, trustworthy men and women, he sets in motion waves of influence that, even after he himself has gone to rest, will reach onward and ever onward, giving joy to the sorrowing and inspiring hope in the discouraged. As he lights in their minds and hearts the lamp of earnest endeavor, he is rewarded by seeing its bright rays diverge in every direction, illuminating not only the lives of the few who daily sit before him for instruction, but through them the lives of many others.